and look at the book of Numbers 16. Numbers chapter number 16. And would like to think about, I call this message Moses' disobedience. Moses' disobedience. And that's in Numbers chapter number 16. And as a text, read verse 44 down through verse number 40. Moses' disobedience. That's what I call it. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, here's what God said to Moses. He said, verse 45, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. I think God is kind of tired of messing with them. Right? And verse 45, the last sentence in verse 45 says, and they fell upon their faces. This is Moses and Aaron. They fell upon their faces. Verse 46, the very next thing you read here. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. Moses' disobedience. Think about that. Let's go, Lord, in word prayer as we begin tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You might help me, Lord, to understand Your Word, I might say it correctly. Lord, I pray, Lord, for this people, that they might understand, Lord, about all this. And Lord, I pray that You might bless those who are lost, that they might see the need of Christ. Lord, and even understand, Lord, this message tonight, that they need to understand, Lord, who You are, and really to trust in You or anything else. I pray, Lord, that You might forgive us for many sins. Bless, keep us close to You tonight. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Now, in order to kind of get an idea about this, let's begin our reading in verse 41. In Numbers 16 and verse number 41. The Bible said this kind of helps with the story here. It says, but on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered together against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And here's verse 44. We read verse 44, 45, and read verse 46 as well. This is talking about what God told them to do. In verse 47, notice this, that Aaron, listen, did Aaron do what God said? Or did Aaron do what Moses said? Who you follow? Think of this. And Aaron took as Moses commanded. Well, that kind of gets you thinking a little bit, don't you? And ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. Now, they that had died in the plague were 14,700. Beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Did Moses really disobey the Lord? I mean, that's what we're talking about. If you just read this, that's exactly what it looked like. God told him in verse 40, 45, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. You know, as I was reading all about this, and I continued to read, I never found where that God reprimanded Moses in the first time about it. It seemed like that it would if there was a real problem there. But you'll see in this that Moses, he did not know better than God, but he was very close to God when he said this. But if you just read this, if you don't understand what it says in verse 45, the latter part of verse 45 is the last sentence. I think we get that better. The Bible said, and they fell upon their faces. There's no record there that Moses ever prayed, or that Aaron prayed, or that God told him anything else. There's no record of all of that. But I believe he did talk to the Lord about it. I believe Moses had a heart that was like unto God's. It wasn't saying. It was like unto God's. And Moses wanted the people of Israel to always do right. And he was concerned when they didn't do right. Now, I want you just to think about what does it mean when you fall on your face to the Lord. You see, there's nothing here that's said. There's nothing that's said. Moses, and I think Aaron, because the Bible said they fell on their faces, the plural words are the shoes. I believe both of them fell on their face before the Lord. What does it mean? Is it this physical thing? Is it just a physical thing? Falling on your face before the Lord? Is that what it means, just a physical thing? Well, I don't think so. I think what happened to them was that they did fall on their face before the Lord physically. But there's more to it than that. Because they were heartbroken at the things of God. Now, in the book of Genesis, chapter 17, we find a couple of other places. Actually, there's more places than this that the Bible talks about people falling on their faces. I think it's good when we can come to an end of ourselves, as Moses and Aaron did. They were at the end of themselves because they couldn't do anything. I think it's good for us to come to the place of totally trusting God. Totally trusting God. But if there's anything that we should do, we need to do it. All right? That's the point. In Genesis 17 and verse number 1, the Bible said, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Now look what the Bible said here in verse number 3. And this is one case. There's like 30 or 40 of these cases. I didn't count them up, but there are several of them in the Bible. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked to them, saying, so Abram fell on it. This is where his name was ever changed. Abram fell on his face before the Lord. Sometimes we don't even see that. Sometimes we're so busy we don't even read that. That's where we are. We're people, right? So it said, Abram fell on his face. What does that mean? I think that could either be physical or it could be spiritual. He could either trust in God completely, and that's what it's meaning. Said, well, he fell on his face. There's no doubt about it that sometimes people fall on their face and they don't worship God at all. Just like us, we can come to church, but that don't mean to worship God at all. I mean, we need to be here, right? Now, if you read this conversation, and I won't take the time to read all of that, but the Bible talks about all these things. How God's going to establish them as a nation. He's going to give them all the land of Canaan. He talked about circumcision. In verse 15, he promised Sarai, thy wife, the wife of Abram, that she shall not be called Sarai anymore, but Sarah shall be her name. In verse 16, I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings shall be born, and kings of people shall be of her. Look what it says in verse 17, though. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? As shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? If you just read from verse 3 all the way down to verse 17, the Bible doesn't say anywhere that Abram got up. It doesn't say that. So how can you fall on your face and they fall on your face? You know, in this, we find a total, absolute, total submission to God. I mean, that's what the Bible is talking about when it uses that term, fall on the face. And this is what Moses and Aaron was doing. They were falling on their face before. That is why that God enabled Moses to tell Aaron, you've got to hurry up and you need to go down there and you need to put this incense out. Because the plague has started right now. You need to do this right now. Right? So, and notice in this. The Bible said in verse 17, of Genesis 17, the Bible said that Abraham laughed in his heart. Abraham laughed in his heart. What does that mean? I think it's kind of private like. Alright? He didn't laugh out loud. You ever laughed kind of privately? Yeah. You laughed out loud? Yeah. Alright. So you know what I'm talking about. Has anybody ever told you something that was so outlandish you thought, but you kept your straight face and you're just, okay. And that's exactly what Abraham did here. In verse number 18, Abraham said unto the Lord, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. So he's actually saying, all these good things now, Lord, should happen to Ishmael, not to... We can't have a child. We're too old. In verse 19, I've got a point here to meet with you, because the point is this, that God heard, even though Abraham was laughing in his heart. God knew it. God knows us too. God knows us. Boy, He knows. I'm afraid that God knows our cheating. God knows our lying. God knows our hypocrisy. God knows all that stuff we can put up. We can put that up before everybody else in our pocket or whatever. I tell you, God knows us. God knows us a lot better than you think we do. Look, in verse 19. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. That's what God said. She was 90 when he was born. Alright? I think that's a little bit past the age of bearing children. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. And then he says in verse number 20, and as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Well, I'll make it clear, oughtn't it? Because I think God is saying in verse, he's referring not only to verse 18, but also to verse number 17, where God heard what they said. But he said, I'll make him fruitful. I'll bless him. I'll multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget. And I'll make him a great nation. Then he said in verse 21, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at a set time in the next year. And that's what he said. You see, God knows what he's talking about. Sometimes, falling on your face before God is when we realize that God is the only one that can help us out. Or when we've messed up. Have you ever messed up big time? I mean, big time. I mean, and you need some help. I know what that is. Whether you do or not, I know what that is. I know what it is to really goof up. Big time. I mean, really goof up. I want to read you about one guy. In the book of Numbers, chapter number 22. Numbers 22. And this is just another place. Numbers 22. Here is a man named Balaam. So I know Balaam really messed up. Well, he really did. I mean, Balaam, he wasn't a very good prophet. He sounded like a guy that if he's going to be on your side, you want him right there so you can watch him every minute. All right? Because he's a little tricky. I mean, he's not a very good guy. In Numbers 22, and let's begin our reading here in verse number... Well, number 22. I get this is a long way from where we want to read from, but to get the story, we need to read there. In Numbers 22, verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because Balaam was going to try to help Balak. And the angel of the Lord appeared in the way for an adversary against him. And he was riding upon an ass, and his two servants were with him. All right. Verse 23. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way, and in went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass, he hit the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side, and a wall on that side. When the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself upon the wall. This is hilarious. And crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. I mean, Balaam didn't see the angel. He didn't see the angel, but that donkey did. In verse 26, and the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. When the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. So what happened to her? I mean, the donkey that Balaam was on saw the angel of the Lord and actually just, and no place else to go. So he just stopped. More than that, the donkey got down on the ground. All right? Look what I said. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote his ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. The Lord at the donkey talked to him. And she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? Now you think that's something, that the donkey talked. I'll tell you something else. Here's something even funnier. Balaam
talked to the donkey. As if the donkey could understand. It did.
And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me. I think he's out of his mind. Really? I would, there were a sword in my hands, for now I would kill thee. The ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was it want to do so to thee? No. No. You've been a good donkey. Verse 3, and here's what it takes. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And that's what Balaam did. And he bowed his head, and look what the Bible said, and fell flat. Why did he do that? Listen, it's because Balaam knew that it's power. God was against him going up there. And he tried to stop him three times, and he would never listen. In your life, sometimes God lets you do things that's against His will. God will let a people do things that are against His will. Just because things are going real good with you don't mean you're in the will of the Lord at all. I mean, Balaam, he didn't have any problem at all, except for this crazy donkey. But the donkey, he saw the Lord. But Balaam didn't. So, when the angel appeared to Balaam, he fell flat on his face. He's worshiping the Lord. Now, God spoke to Balaam, and he went on his way, but he understood that he wasn't supposed to be blessing Balak at all. Look at one other place. I'm just going to read these. There's not very many. There's several of them, but I won't read all this to you. In 1 Samuel 17, I'll read this one because I never saw this before. I had really saw this, but it really struck me that here in 1 Samuel 17, the Bible says that Goliath, when he was stoned, or when he was when he had that rock in his forehead, notice what he did. That's all I want to mention here. In 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 49. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 49. The Bible said, and David put his hand in his bag and took hence a stone and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. Now, here's the thing that I've always wondered about. The stone, when David slung that stone, you would think that it would knock him backwards. You would think it would. Why? Listen, if you got hit in the head hard enough, that a stone sunk into your forehead and lodged there, don't you think it would knock you backwards? But I tell you what, if it happened this way this time, what happened here? The Bible said that Goliath, he fell upon his face to the earth. He fell upon his face to the earth. This tells me that even lost people, God takes care to make sure that He gets all the glory and the honor out of their life. And this lost man, when he fell upon his face, he recognized that God was in charge. He didn't fall backwards. I don't think he fell backwards. He fell on his face, right to the ground. I believe that's right. So, this is a... Let's see, we're Numbers. That's where I'm at. Number 16. It's amazing what happened here in number 16 that when Moses said to Aaron in verse 46 of Numbers 16, verse 46, Moses set a censer and put fire thereon and said, you take care of this. And I want to mention here that just because there is victory is that we experience victory one day don't mean that the enemy will not gather up arms against you tomorrow. Alright? That's what I will say. I've taken that from Numbers 16 and verse number 41. But on the morrow, the word but kind of gives a contradiction of terms. Numbers 16, verse number 41, the Bible says, but on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. And all that happened with Korah. Because all that issue, that's in Numbers 16, verse number 1, the Bible said, and Korah, and there's 250 of these princes of the assembly of the congregation, they were real important people. I tell you what, it'd be so much better if we just humble ourselves and follow the Lord. Because on that day that Korah and all of his bunch, 250 princes, when they rebelled against the leadership of the Lord, and Moses was standing there. Moses did not want that. But he had no repercussions at all. I mean, if God didn't do something, it was going to fall apart. And God did something that day. Because God called for separation of the people, and the earth swallowed up, the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and all of his bunch that day. The next day, however, there was 17,400 died. Put that all together. Isn't God is on His throne. And we need to always be submissive unto God and not to the group. You think of this. The Bible says in number 16, in verse number 2, that there was 250 of these princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And all these men died when the earth opened up and swallowed them up whole. And they went down into the pit, the Bible says. The next day, however, after they died, the very next day, Moses and Aaron were brought before the congregation and they said, you have killed the people of the Lord. See, in verse 41, they said, in Numbers 16, 41, you have killed the people of the Lord. That's their accusation. I tell you, they were people in the congregation, all right, but they were not people of the Lord at all. And they died. But in thinking about all that, think about something else. What we read about here in the book of Numbers 16 happened quick. It happened quick. In Numbers 16, with the insurrection of Korah and all of his bunch, and the next day then, there was 14,700 killed. God took care of that. Alright? Sometimes we think that God ought to reveal His will real quick. But sometimes God doesn't do that. Sometimes God lets them live. We could tell you many, many stories about the rebels against God, that God didn't kill immediately. He let them live. I mean, it can't happen. Now, in light of this, look in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 8. Ecclesiastes 8. And verse number 11. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse number 11. So we read the book of Numbers, how that Korah and his bunch and 14,700 were killed in 2 days. All right. Look what the Bible said here in this place. In Numbers, Ecclesiastes 8 and verse number 11. The Bible said here, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of man is fully set on him to do evil. You know, when I read this, actually, I read Ecclesiastes 7 first. Ecclesiastes 8 first. And then I read Numbers. So how does God judge anyway? How does He do it? Does He do it quickly? Or does He do it slowly? You know, I can read you places in the book of Job where that God don't apparently ever judge. Because the Bible talks about people that continue to rebel against Him, and they have, the Bible says their eyes stand out with fatness that more than heart could wish. So how does all that work? Can you really go against God and things be okay? Well, right now. But God might judge you. What I'm seeing in this, more than what I'm seeing anywhere else, is that who's in charge? Listen, God's in charge. God does what He wants to do. He performs His will, His way, and His way only. And that works. I mean, that works. God is in charge. Sometimes we have it fixed in our mind that it works like this. If anybody rebels against God, He just kills them. But that's not necessarily the way God does it. But God could. God is absolute, total sovereign. He does what He wants to do, not what we want Him to do. He is the one in charge. He tells us. We don't tell Him. So Moses, when he told Aaron, you take these censers up there, you do it real quick because the plague of the Lord started. Listen, I know it's not safe, but I believe that he had the will of God on his mind and he did what God wanted him to do. There was still 17,400 that died even on that day. Notice in the book of 1 Samuel 13 how this works. 1 Samuel 13. And you know, in verse 1, 1 Samuel 13 in verse 1 and verse number 2. The Bible said here in this place that Saul ranked 1 year, and when he ranked 2 years, that is there for a reason. That is there for a reason. How long did Saul rule all the nation of Israel? It was 40 years. All right. So on the second year of his reign, this is what happened. 1 Samuel 13 and verse number 2. Saul chosen 3,000 men of Israel, were 2,000 Saul and Mishbash and Mount Bethel, and 1,000 warriors of Jonathan and Gibeah of Benjamin and the rest of the people, he sent every man to his tent. And that's the question. Where was David? David wasn't even born. He wasn't even born. But it was at this point, when Saul had reigned 2 years, he had 38 years to go, that God said, I want to choose me a king. It's going to be a man after my own heart and not after anybody else's heart. And David wasn't even born yet. It was going to be 8 years before David was even born. All right? 8 years. We're dealing with an eternal God. We're not dealing with a God that looks at things the way we look at them. We're looking at a God who sees wonderful things, and we need to be obedient unto Him and always do what God wants us to do. All right? If we don't, we will pay the price. We will pay the price for all of that. But let's go back to the book of Numbers. Numbers 16. You see, in Numbers 16, in verse number 45, when Moses and Aaron fell on their face toward the Lord, they were looking for an answer from God. And I believe they got one. I believe they got one. Moses told Aaron, he said, Aaron, in verse 46 of Numbers 16, he said, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and go put on incense and go quickly and unto the congregation and make atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. It is already started. Know it so. God is God, and we are people. Moses, when he made this direction to Aaron, he was not, I don't believe he was taking matters into his own hands at all. I believe Moses was following the direction of God that God gave him. That's what I believe. Because Moses fell on his face before the Lord. Because God is omnipotent. He's the one in charge. We're not. We need to rely only upon the Lord, and God can take care of us. In verse 47, the Bible said, Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun. That's exactly what Moses said. The plague, in verse 45, verse 46, he said, the plague has begun. And what Aaron, when he got there, he found that the plague was begun among the people. He saw that. Why? Because people were dying. And took this incense. And it was only doing what the law said to do. He made an atonement for the people. In verse 48, this is a marvelous passage, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Moses and Aaron, they were standing there between the dead. I think Aaron in particular here is who he's talking about, with the incense. But besides that, there was 14,700 that died. There's repercussions if we don't do what God wants us to do. It's absolutely the truth. In our church, who is the head of our church? It's the Lord. We need to do what God says. the repercussions that we all face are, they're there. I mean, we need to do what God wants us to do. And actually, you think about it. We may not have time to mess up. We may not. Because it has been one generation since Israel was made a nation again. And there it is. And God can... I think that God wants great things of His people. I think God wants great things of us, but He wants us to listen to Him because He's in charge. Every ear, every eye needs to be toward Christ and not toward each other or somebody in the congregation. We need to be looking to the Lord and let God take care of things because He can do a wonderful job of it. Okay? Listen. Just to show you this. Who can save a lost soul? I can't. You can't. This church can't. I tell you what, who can? Jesus Christ. He's the head. If you're lost, you need to come to Jesus Christ. If you come to me, all I can do is point you to Jesus Christ. I mean, that's all I can do. I can't save you. But good, I already would. But that's the truth of it. We need to be submissive to God and let God do what He wants to do. May God help us as a church to always do what He wants to do, especially as we're living in these last days, especially as we're thinking about what should we do next? What's the next thing that's on agenda? It ought to be we do what God wants us to do, whatever that is. Be submissive to God and let God's will be done. Even if it's not what I want to do. Alright? We'll just study that for a while. Okay. That's all I got. Brother John, we would come please as we stand as we hit, sing this hymn. We pray for you that Lord help you tonight. If you're lost tonight, you know, I can't save you, but I know somebody that can, Jesus Christ, and wash away your sins, He can save you. Our whole point in this whole message is to point people to Jesus Christ. Those that are saved, those members of this church, we point us to Jesus Christ. And for those that are lost, to point you to Jesus Christ too, because that's what we all need, is Christ. He can watch over us and He can bless. Okay? Let's stand if you would, if you sing, please.